Peter McPherson and I have a great friendship. David Ratton joins that group, and we make a trio, the three not-so-wise men of Blackburn North. We enjoy wonderful fellowship together, and between us, we realized just early last year that we have 40 years of combined ministry in Blackburn North. That may be too much, I'm not sure, but it's wonderful to share in fellowship together. You have a wonderful pastor, and I enjoy his friendship, and I enjoy his keen intellect and his challenging insights. I enjoy his love for the Lord and his passion for the wider community, and I hope that you prize the treasure that you have in Peter. We share together and go off occasionally to have a retreat day. And about a month and a half, 2 months ago, the three of us went off and spent 24 hours together. We spent some of that time talking and encouraging one another. We spent some of that time praying together. And we spent some of that time planning for today. What is God's word to the churches? What is it that God is stirring in our hearts? And I have a word from God for you this morning. God has a plan. Trust the plan. God has a plan. It's so important to have a plan. If the ambulance leaves the hospital and has only a name, but no address, no map, no navman, no plan, well, we're in trouble, aren't we? If the pilot leaves the tarmac and has no plan, you don't want to be on that airplane, do you? A lot of people get into difficulty, stress, real burden at Christmas time because they have no plan. Pretty much everybody has a lot of expectations. I want to buy these things, I want to bake these things, I want to clean these things. But do you have a plan? Do you have an intention how much money would be wise to spend and then stop? How much work would be wise to do in the cleaning and the baking and then stop? And a good plan can save you lots of stress, but no plan can make you an angry shopper. Have you met any? They're out there. Beware, beware. Lack of a plan can be very conflicting and confronting and costly. You may want to have a wonderful meal for your family, but if there is no plan and the fridge is empty and the cupboard is bare, there won't be the meal that you dream or design. You may have an intention to become an engineer with great skill and great capacity, but if there is no plan to get educated and to invest the time and to invest the energy, there will be no outcome. So is there a plan that is bigger than your intentions and expectations for your life? What do you reckon? Is there a plan for this world? You look at the newspaper, you watch what's happening in the society and in the culture, and you can wring your hands with considerable concern. Is there a plan? Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, God has a plan. He hasn't left the tarmac like a pilot without a destination or an intention. His cupboards are not empty. His fridge is not bare. He is not flying by the seat of his pants. God has a plan. Trust the plan. When we come to this story this morning of the birth of Moses, and you're looking at births of amazing people of God whose beginnings are so fragile and yet such an evidence of the providence of God, the sovereignty of God, the work of God in our world, when we come to study the birth of Moses, we see that God has a plan. And it's a plan that is, well, it's individual, it's personal, it's intimate and connecting with each one of you. God has a plan for every person here this morning. God has a plan for every family here. God has a plan for St. Alfred's and for our community of Blackburn North and our region of Whitehorse and our city of Melbourne, our country of Australia. God has a plan that is individual. But that plan is also cosmic. God has a plan for everyone and for everything. God has a plan to cradle his children with care It's a very individual plan. And to deliver his people from evil, it is a cosmic plan. Trust the plan. Let's spend a few moments thinking about God's care. God has a plan that touches individuals, individual families, individual clusters, individual problems. God has a plan to cradle his children with care. And when you read this story this morning, you can't help but feel a bit warm on the inside at the way things come together for the Moses family. For Jochebed, his mother, what would it be like to give birth to a child in a season of genocide? This is a horrid moment in Israel's history. It is a terrible season for the Hebrew people. Pharaoh has a plan. Ah, yes, Pharaoh has a plan. And his plan is to become stronger while everybody else becomes weaker. He has a plan that he has engineered, his own ingenuity. And we read in chapter 1, around verse 10, that his plan was to put to death all of the Hebrew babies so that they would decrease and the Egyptian power would increase. But we read in verse 12 that God had a plan, very different plan. He was using women. Did you notice all the way through the passage? He's using midwives, those crafty midwives. I don't know what's happening, they say to their watchers. These Hebrew children are so strong. Why, they just pop out before we get there. What can we do? They're so strong. He's using midwives. He's using Jochebed, the mother of Moses, this wise woman who looks after her son for 3 months till he becomes louder and louder and louder, and it's hard to hide him. And she puts him in a little grass and pitch basket, which she floats in the Nile River. Miriam, his clever sister, who goes to watch. Thank God for the gift of curiosity in children. And as she watches, sees a moment of opportunity and bursts through the rushes, showing her face, saying, "Would you like me to find someone to look after the baby?" God uses Pharaoh's daughter, who comes for a bath and sees a baby and is moved. Thank God for the gift of compassion in the hearts of people. And she scoops the baby up out of the Nile, thinking to herself, "Well, what will I do?" And Miriam provides the answer. It's a story of women, did you notice? Fascinating adventure. And what would it be to be a mother like Jochebed, giving birth to a child in a season of genocide? How horrible, how terrible. With a sinister man like Pharaoh and his plan. But God has a plan. A superior plan. A plan that isn't always using the world's intellect. The world's intellect can become a stumbling place. It's a plan that's often on the edge. It's often under the radar. It's often where the world isn't looking. You don't read the best news in the newspapers, do you? You don't hear the best stories in the public arena. The best stories. In fact, God's best stories are rarely front page news, you'll notice, even in the scriptures. They become front page news later as we see the plan and as it unfolds. God has a plan. He has a plan to cradle his children with care. And little Moses, in that grass and pitch basket floating in the river, so vulnerable, is rescued by God's hand. He is rescued for an amazing mission that we'll talk about in just a moment, and rescued by the care of God. It's a wonderful picture of the providential interest of a loving God. God has that same care for you. God has that same compassion for you. And he knows what it is that is troubling you. He knows what it is that is the conflict of your world. And he has the same interest to bring his love in mysterious ways into your life. He wants to cradle you with his care and surround you with his compassion. God has a plan. Trust the plan. It's fascinating that Pharaoh, who had all the power, all the advisors, all the capacities, had a plan as well. And his plan came to nothing. Be careful. Be careful when you are inclined to think God is too slow, God's ways are too mysterious, God's work is too, well, just, it's just too hard, and go off and make your own plan. Because the plans that seem so wise, that do not have the blessing of God, do not succeed in the end. God has a plan, and that plan is intimate and individual and touches individual lives. And even as you sit here this morning, I challenge you to bring that which is the burden of your heart to God and ask him to care for you. Bring that which is the trouble of your life to God and ask him to bring healing to your life. Because he is a God of infinite purpose with individual compassion. He cares for your family. He cares for your church. He cares for your life. And if you can picture little Moses floating in his little bark down the Nile River, can you put your troubles in that basket? Can you set your life in that basket? You know, an interesting thing about the Nile, it was viewed as the most powerful force flowing through the center of Egypt, this Nile River. Why, it was believed to be the very presence and power of a god. And when the Pharaoh said, throw your babies in the Nile, drown your babies in the Nile, he was effectively asking the Hebrews to make sacrifice of their children and to show the strength of Egypt's God. Isn't it fascinating? Moses' mother sort of obeys. She puts the baby in the river. That's what she was told to do. And God rescues that child. It may seem to you like the forces of the world around you are strong and the gods of this age are all controlling. But if you trust that which is most precious to you, if you trust that you don't know how to deal with, to this God, let me tell you, he has a plan. Trust the plan. Not only is it an individual plan, it is a cosmic plan. It's good to stop and think about how caring God is for us, cradling his children with care. But we need to see the rest of the message of the story. God's care is cosmic. It's universal. It's me, thank God, but it's you too, thank God. It's us, praise be to the Father, but it's everybody, hallelujah. I wonder if we even dare to believe it. It's everybody and everything. That's who God is interested in. It's who he is reaching to. It's who he is passionate for. And this cosmic plan shows itself in the story of Moses. It's just the birth of a baby, for goodness sake. A baby who was destined to die in the river, but gets fished out of the river. But you see, we know the rest of the story. We know who Moses is. This God who has a plan to deliver his people from evil. He has a plan to deliver this creation from the grip of evil. We know who Moses is. A baby at the moment of this story, but he will be the one who delivers Israel from bondage in Egypt. Do you catch some of the ironies of the story? It's full of beautiful, delicious ironies. The Hebrews in the century of the writing of this text would no doubt have read it to their children and told them where to laugh, because it's full of wonderful, delicious irony. Moses, who is fished out of the river, is the one who will lead the children of Israel through the sea. Pharaoh, who said, drown your babies in the river, is the one who will watch his army drown in the river as they chase the Israelite people to freedom. And Pharaoh, who has said, we're going to diminish the number of Hebrews, winds up, quite unbeknownst to him, funding the infant care and the education of the deliverer. Isn't it fantastic? Let the government fund. Let Pharaoh fund God's project of deliverance. Isn't it marvelous? God's up to things, you know. He's always up to something. And just because you don't see it, just because the newspaper doesn't report it, doesn't mean that it's unimportant and insignificant. Nobody was paying attention in Egypt. Nobody was noticing the day Moses was born. Nobody much knew the day he was placed in the river. They were off in their slave, constricted labor, bemoaning and calling out to God. But God was at work. God was at work. When you read the newspaper tomorrow morning, know that God is at work. You may read terrible things, but know that God is at work. He is sometimes at work in the most extraordinary places. Little basket floating down the river, that's the deliverer of Egypt. It happens again in history. Little boy born in a stable, no room for the parents to have a child, so they put him in a manger. Just a little manger where animals eat, and that boy's going to be the deliverer of all God's people. God does his most amazing work out of the spotlight, out of the newspapers, out of the drama of life, and he is at work. God has a plan. Trust the plan. God has a plan to deliver all his people from evil. He has a plan to deliver this creation from the clutches of sinfulness, the decay of death. He has a plan to set all things free. Here in this little story of Moses, politics are thwarted. Religious efforts are thwarted. There's no God alive in the Nile, but there is a God creator who rescues his deliverer and sends his people through the sea. God has a plan to deliver. And as we think about the birth of Moses, and we make the connection with the birth of Jesus, it's the same kind of thing. God working quietly, almost unnoticed, but up to something absolutely amazing. A few men came from a distant land, from the east, to worship Jesus, because something incredible was happening here. And eventually some would follow, and eventually many would turn their backs, and then Jesus would die, and then he would rise up from the grave, and he would make clear that he was the deliverer. Moses led the children of Israel through the sea. That's not bad. Jesus will lead all of his children through the grave. That is phenomenal. God has a plan. Trust the plan. Now, for the Israelite people, you know, you might have thought that it wouldn't be that hard for them to follow God's plan. Did you know that it was all laid out right from the beginning? Back in Genesis chapter 15, when God is talking to Abraham. Now, this is before the nation of Israel is even born, right? Abraham. This is before there are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is before there is a Joseph who goes down into Egypt. This is before 400 years of slavery, before a great nation of people. Listen to what God says. He's speaking to Abraham in verse 13 of chapter 15. He says, then the Lord said to Abraham, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. It's not bad, is it, to have something so accurately provided for them centuries before? God has a plan. Hold the plan in your heart. Trust the plan. I mean, wouldn't it be great if we had something like that today? Wouldn't it be great if we had some word from God that was so clear and so definite? Would it help you? Would it help you if you had something as clear as what was given to Abraham? Would it help you? One of you has nodded yes, so I'll answer that person. There is such a claim. Do you know the Bible's actually filled with claims of God's promises? But listen to this one. In the book of Corinthians, it says, "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." And then it says, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ will all be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruit, and then when he comes, those who belong to him, and then the end will come, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power." Now, those are amazing words if you meditate on them a bit. They actually have all the power of what Genesis 15, verse 13, had for the Hebrew people. You're going to go into slavery. It's going to be 400 years, and then God is going to release you, and it's going to be an amazing release, and you'll come out stronger. How they might have sat with those words during 400 years of slavery, waiting for the... God has a plan. Trust the plan. So here we are in the 21st century. What's God's word to us? Well, it's this. You remember the baby Jesus born? We'll celebrate his birth in just a few days' time. Well, as you celebrate, remember this. He grew to be a man. He taught. He healed. He spoke of God's kingdom. He invited all of us to follow him, and then he died. These are wonderful punctuation moments. He did not remain dead. He rose from the grave. He invited all of us to the greatest exodus the universe has ever known. An exodus out of death, an exodus out of sin, an exodus out of corruption, an exodus out of everything that is wrong. A deliverance. And what's he doing now? Well, he's in heaven with his Father. And he is waiting for us to be about our work on mission, building his kingdom, sharing his story. And he will come. And when he comes, all those who belong to him will be gathered. And there will be a mighty exodus out of this veil of tears, out of this sin-stricken world, and a new heaven and a new earth will prevail. And then he will judge all dominion and all authority and all power. And then he will reign forever and will give the kingdom to his Father so that God might be all in all. That's the plan. Trust the plan. For this God, to whom we come this morning in worship, to whom we come in communion, to whom we come in prayer, to whom we come with the adoration of our hearts, he has a plan to cradle his children with care. Trust him. And to deliver his people from evil. Trust him. God has a plan. Trust the plan. Let's pray together. Father God, we celebrate the birth of Moses because it is the birth of the story of deliverance. We celebrate the birth of Jesus because it is the story of your incredible love and your plan of deliverance for all your people. Lord, we celebrate the fact that you have a plan to cradle your children in your care and to deliver your people from evil, a plan that is certain and sure, a plan that will succeed, a plan that we trust. Loving God, for this we praise you, and in this we celebrate. In the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen.